a Christian voice in your home. Streaming live on our website at radiomaria.us, on the Radio Maria USA mobile app, on your telephone at 1-631-359-8743, and on the radio in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL in Hammocks, Miami. In Louisiana, on 580 AM KJMJ in Alexandria, 1360 AM KNIR in New Iberia, 89.7 FM KBIO in Natchitoches, and 91.1 FM KOJO in Lake Charles. In Mississippi, on 88.1 FM WOLM in D'Iberville-Biloxi. In Ohio, on 1600 AM WULM in Springfield, with translator W277AO 103.3 FM in Enon, Dayton, and 88.7 FM WHJM in Anna. In Pennsylvania, on 88.1 FM WHHN in Hollidaysburg, Altoona. In Texas, on 1250 AM KDEI in Port Arthur. And in Wisconsin, at 91.3 FM WRMW in Peshtigo.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. It's 10:01 Central Time, 11:01 Eastern Time. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter De Palma, and I'm joined always by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Orders of Divine Will, coming to us live via live stream from Italy. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And we're not going to petition our prayer today. We're going to do a supplication. Because, you know, just thinking about it, just identifying two petitional prayers that we usually pray, the Our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Actually, Jesus has answered that petition. He's brought us the gift of living the divine will. Also with the divine mercy, we ask that may peace be given to the world. And it has, through the gift of the divine will. And being given a gift and using it are two different things. But we're going to begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This comes from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31, the soul to its glorious queen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you want to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. This is the kindergarten of the divine will. And we're going to go to Italy quickly, Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters. Good afternoon.
Hello, Peter. Hi, everybody out there.
Blessed feast day, Mother and sisters.
Yes, it was a wonderful day yesterday. We had a wonderful feast and we did the Hour of Mercy, which was special. And Hour of Mercy is 3 o'clock every day. But Hour of Grace, and that was special, a special blessing, you know. So we're grateful to our Lord for all these gifts that he gives us and all these messages through different visionaries. And that one, I think that's accepted by the church, the Hour of Grace. So that was
Rosa Mystica.
Yeah.
And also today, Mother, with the Feast of St. Juan Diego.
Yes.
What an example to all of us. I mean, through the power of our Blessed Mother, who, of course, is empowered by our Blessed Lord, probably one of the greatest conversions of all time. And you know, what Juan Diego did, we're actually being called to do as well. I'd like to start off, Mother, with a passage from the Book of Heaven. It's actually volume 17, May 1st, 1925. I'm not going to read the entire passage, but I just want to grab a couple parts of it. It begins, quote, in addition, this is our Blessed Lord speaking, in addition to me, there is my Heavenly Mother, who received the unique mission of being the mother of the Son of God and the office of co-redemptrix of mankind. I'd like to stop there for a moment. So God is proclaiming our Blessed Lady as being the mother of the Son of God, the office of co-redemptrix of mankind. Now, we know that's sort of a gray area. You know, there was the 12th International Mariological Congress, which was back in 96. They actually brought to the table to the Holy See to study the possibility of the opportunity to define some Marian titles as mediatrix, co-redemptrix, and advocate. And although it was met with favor, they just thought at the time that it might be confusing. Actually, what they said is this, quote, "Even if the titles were assigned a content which could be accepted as belonging to the deposit of the faith, the definition of these titles, however, in the present situation would be lacking in theological clarity," end quote. And I think what happened there is similar to the quagmire, so to speak, that we're in right now with Luis's writings. In the comunicado from the Archbishop on March 6th of 2020, he mentioned that there are some ambiguities that the church needs clarification on. Not problems, not errors, not concerns, but just, again, that how do they present it in the present situation with theological clarity? So we pray that that the right personnel will be invoked so that these clarifications may be done. I have someone in mind that could do it. But again, all of in God's time. And you know, I look at it this way too, Mother. Even though the process perhaps may be taking a little bit longer than anticipated, I think it's a great opportunity for us to continue to grow, to love, and to cherish this gift in faith before the church gives it its final stamp of approval. All glory and honor to God and everything through his permissible will. Mother, sisters?
It's all in his hands, you know, and we have to realize, you know, our Lord, he told Luisa that there would be no fault in these writings, that if anybody finds fault is from their lack of understanding and wisdom and knowledge, but not from the writings. So it's lack of our understanding, in other words, our stupidity, that doesn't allow us to
leave me out of this conversation, it. Mother.
And so, no, we're so, God knows we're flaky and stupid, so he allows it to happen. But you know, if our Lord called Our Lady co-redemptrix, she's co-redemptrix. We know that, you know. And you know, she suffered everything he suffered with him, you know. So we always pray to her every night, Our Lady mediatrix and co-redemptrix. And we pray that every night before we end our night prayer, when we end our night prayer. So I think we just have to keep on praising and thanking God for this gift, and praising and thanking him, God, for our stupidity. Maybe if we praise and thank him for our stupidity, it'll be clarified, you know, because we have to praise and thank him in all things, good things and bad things, you know. So I think that's what we need to do rather than worry about it, just praise and thank him for it, you know. And he knows that we're flaky and we need a lot of help. And, you know, that we're very stubborn, and our pride is what keeps us from understanding very often. Our pride holds us back, and we lack wisdom because of our pride, you know. And so I think we have to pray for humility, you know. And you want to say something?
No, I was going to say, again, I hate interrupting all the time. It's also nice to note also that our Blessed Lord made that statement regarding his mother in volume 17, which has the blessing of the church's imprimatur and nihil obstat. So the church is not disagreeing with the titles, but they're just saying it's not the time yet. And again, mm-hmm. That's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, which we have to really be patient with, because the Holy Spirit knows when to do something and when not to. And unlike us, like you say,
he allows all this. He allows everything, and he brings a greater good out of it. You know, I mean, God would want a lot of things not to have been the way they are, or the way they were. If Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, that would have been a better thing. But he brings a greater God good out of even that, everything, and out of the time that is taken longer to accept all of this. You know, God would want everybody to be reading the volumes, but he allows that it takes its time and people don't grasp it or don't understand it. He wants this gift for everyone, you know, and so in his time, you know, in the right time, everyone will embrace this because God is going to give it as an infused gift and no one will be able to deny that, you know. Right. So I was just reading from January 1st, volume 20. It says, my state continues in the flight of the light of the divine will. And I was praying the pretty little baby Jesus that just as the year, the old year was dying, never to be born again, so he would make my will die and to live it more, live no more. And as present for the new year, he would give me his will, just as I gave him the gift of mine, so as to place it as footstool at his tender little feet, that it might have no other life but his will alone. Now, while I was saying this and other things, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior and told me, daughter of my will, how I love, want, yearn that your will may end in you. And he's wanting that for all of us. How I accept your present. How pleasing it will be for me to keep it as soft footstool at my feet. In fact, as long as it remains in the creature outside of its center, which is God, the human will is hard. But when it enters again into the center from which it came, serving as footstool at the feet of your little baby Jesus, it becomes soft, and I use it to amuse myself. It is not right that, little as I am, I have an amusement. And that in the midst of so many sorrows, privations, and tears, I have your will to make me smile. Now you must know that one who puts an end to her will returns into the origin from which she came. And the new life, the life of light, the perennial life of my will begins in her. See, when I came upon earth, I wanted to give many examples and similes of how I wanted the human will to end. I wanted to be born at midnight so as to break the night of the human will with the refulgent day of mine. And even though at midnight, the night continues, it does not finish. It is yet the beginning of a new day. And my angels to give honor to my birth and to point out to everyone the day of my will from midnight on gladdened the vault of the heavens with new stars and new suns, such as to turn the night into more than daylight. So I think, you know, this is going January 1st, which is coming up soon. I think we can all
another feast day, right, Mother? Another feast right. day.
Another feast day, Mother of God, too. But, you know, we can pray for that grace like Louisa did and prepare ourselves now that on January 1st, maybe we should all ask that our will will die to our human will and embrace the divine will fully and be granted to us as a gift fully given to us by God. Louisa did it, you know. Won't hurt to ask. We can ask, but right now we can start preparing ourselves for that, to die more and more to our human will, to enter into his divine will perfectly. And that's when we'll have perfect joy and more peace. And the Lord will delight in us and we will delight in him.
You mentioned real quick, Mother, about Adam and Eve. If they, you know, it would have been nice if they didn't sin, but since they did sin, what did God do? He created a greater good. Now we received our blessed Lord and our blessed Lady in the capacity that they had to come. So again, everything is played out through God's permissible will. So really, this is the answer to that fiat. I could never understand fiat always when Father Celso first said it. How can you say fiat to everything? But in essence, it's everything that does occur, as long as we're not doing something intentionally, of course, that's going to redirect us sort of like a bumper car. Sister?
Yeah, just kind of add on to what you said. One thing that helps me, I kind of remember, especially when it's hard to give fiat to things that you think don't make sense or against God's will, I remind myself that God hasn't lost control of anything. You know, he's still got control over everything. And even out of mistakes, even out of things that were maybe out of his will, he's so brilliant. He can orchestrate it in a way to where his will is going to be done anyway. But another thing I was thinking when Mother was saying, well, why don't we ask for that gift on January 1st to have our wills totally die in the divine will? I was thinking earlier this week, we have such low expectations for ourselves. At least I know I do for myself. We know how weak we are, but it's like, we forget, like, this is a great gift that God wants to give us. He's ready to give us. Obviously, like you were saying earlier, Peter, it's in the Holy Spirit's time. We get purified. We're going to we're going to live the gift fully when God wants, but we really have to pray for it with confidence that it's possible. You know, what did Jesus say in the gospel? Be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. I think it was St. Paul or St. Peter. I think it was St. Paul, you know, may you grow to perfection, spirit, soul, and body for the glorious coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They didn't have any problem saying these things, you know? So we have to pray for that gift, you know, with confidence that God wants to give it to us even more than we want it. And I also wanted to share a passage that I read yesterday. It's from December 8th. So the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, 1935. It's in volume 34. And to me, this is the secret of how to receive the gift. In fact, there is no, Jesus is talking to Louisa. In fact, there is no grace that descends over the earth. There is no sanctity that is formed. There is no sinner who is converted. There is no love that departs from our throne that is not first deposited in the heart of my mother, that forms the maturation of that good, fecundates it with her love, enriches it with her graces, and if necessary, with the virtue of her sorrows. And then she deposits it in who must receive it in a way that the one who receives it feels the divine paternity and the maternity of her celestial mother. We can do it without her, but we do not want to. Who will have the heart of setting her aside? Our love, our infinite wisdom, our fiat itself impose over us and do not let us do anything that does not descend by her means. So we have to stay close to our Blessed Mother. Nothing's going to pass. Nothing's coming to us unless it's coming through her. And it's so beautiful because we get to rest not only in the arms of our Father in heaven, but in the arms of a mother. You know, God has given us a functional family. You know, there's so many broken homes out there. You know, none of our parents, no matter how good they were, have loved us perfectly. But we do have a perfect mother and father out there. That are ready to do anything in their means. I mean, Jesus and Mary suffered every possible pain to cover us with that pain, with that love, in order to heal all of our wounds and to lead us to live in his will. So we have nothing to fear.
I like how Jesus actually, he clarifies a misnomer. He says, you know, how could you possibly deny our mother? And you know, some of our Christian brothers and sisters believe that if we give our mother too much attention, it's insulting to Jesus. On the contrary, we're not invoking our mother. That perhaps would be insulting to our Lord. So it's just the opposite.
Yeah. Mother? You know, the year of St. Joseph ended on December 8th. It was a year, you know, that, and he's a terror of demons. So he's been protecting us from lots of demons. But, you know, Our Lady now is taken over. Our Lady's Immaculate Heart, I think, is going to begin to triumph now as of yesterday in a fuller way. I mean, she's been triumphing all along the way, but I think we have to go to her now and ask her help and stay under her mantle during these difficult times coming. You know, God is giving her the grace now. She crushes the head of Satan, you know. So, you know, and our Lord, to go on where I was reading in volume 20, January 1st, it says how he suffered all his life. Everything that our Lord did was to bring about the divine will. He says, I wanted to flee to Egypt. A tyrannical and iniquitous will wanted to kill me, symbol of the human will that wants to kill mine. And I fled in order to say to all, flee the human will. If you do not want mine to be killed, my whole life was nothing other than the calling of the divine will into the human. In Egypt, I lived like a stranger in the midst of that people, symbol of my will, that they kept as though estranged within their midst, and symbolizing that whoever wants to live in peace and united with my will must live as though estranged from the human will. Otherwise, there will always be war between the two of them. They are two irreconcilable wills. After my exile, I returned to my fatherland, symbol of my will, that after its long exile, its centuries upon centuries will return to its dear fatherland and to the midst of its children in order to reign. And as I went through these stages of my life, I kept forming its kingdom in me, and I called it with incessant prayers, with pains and with tears, to come to reign in the midst of creatures. I returned to my fatherland, and I lived hidden and unknown. Oh, how this symbolizes the sorrow of my will that, while living in the midst of the peoples, lives unknown and hidden. And with My hiddenness, I impetrated that the supreme will be known, that it might receive the homage and the glory that are due to it. There was nothing I did that did not symbolize a sorrow of my will, the condition in which creatures put it, and a call I made in order to return its kingdom to it. And this is what I want your life to be, the continuous calling of the kingdom of my will into the midst of creatures. So that's what we do. We're just calling him into the kingdom of divine will into the midst of all of us, that we can all live fully in his most holy divine will. Such a great gift, you know. Are we getting close to? Okay.
Yeah, I was also reading volume 19, April 28, 1926. And here Jesus talks about how our mother is the most perfect examples of the living in the divine will, and how the Virgin Mary, she surpassed everyone in suffering. So it kind of goes along with everything we talked about so far. So here is Jesus talking to Luisa. The maximum sacrifice of my mama was not only one, but there were so great and so many, for as many as were the sorrows, the pains, the circumstances, and the encounters to which her existence and mine were exposed. Pains were always doubled in her, because my pains were hers more than her own pains. Besides, my wisdom did not change direction with my mama. In each pain she was to receive, I always asked her whether she wanted to accept it, in order to hear that fiat being repeated to me in each pain, in each circumstance, and even in each heartbeat of hers. That fiat resounded so sweet, gentle, and harmonious to me that I wanted to hear it being repeated in every instant of her life. This is why I would always ask her, Mama, do you want to do this? Do you want to suffer this pain? And my fiat would bring her the seeds of the goods it contains, and would make her understand the intensity of the pain she was receiving, accepting. This understanding, through the divine light of that which, step by step, she was to suffer, gave her such martyrdom as to infinitely surpass the struggle which creatures suffer. In fact, since the seed of sin was missing in her, the seed of the struggle was missing. And so my will had to find another device that she might not be inferior to the other creatures in suffering, because having to acquire by justice the right of Queen of Sorrows, she was to surpass in suffering all creatures together. So our celestial mother, she truly surpasses all. And as written in the Divine Will writings, she's the new heaven, the most refulgent sun, the brightest moon, the most flowery earth. She encloses everything within herself, and by her fiat, she impetrated the longed-for Redeemer, Jesus. And she lived so perfectly in accordance with the divine will that not even one fiber of her heart or word or thought did not possess its life. So she possessed the divine will in herself, so she had everything, and there was no power the divine will lacks or things that it cannot do. So we have a mother who did everything and who still is capable of doing everything for us. So God gave us Mary as the most perfect example of the living in the divine will. And she was a creature just like us who made the greatest of sacrifices, not even wanting to know her own will, but only God's will. And with her fiat, she embraced all sorrows, all pains, and sacrificing her only son, only begotten son, in order to do the divine will for us, in order to give us the kingdom of the divine will. And she had struggles just like us, and she was in difficult circumstances. And we have a mother who understands and has a loving heart for each of her children. And we might think that it would be easy for Mary because she was conceived without sin and because she did not rebel against God's will. But because she was to surpass in suffering all creatures together as our Queen of Sorrow, God asked Our Lady in every instant of her life for a fiat in each pain. So we are so fortunate to have a mother who truly loves us and cares about us. So let us not forget to go to our mother in any struggles of our life, because she will give us the strength and she will help us to accept the cross and carry it well in the divine will.
Amen. Yeah, she's the perfect model, the perfect teacher. And she's our mother too, which is beautiful. You know, Mother Gabriel was mentioning about the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We truly believe that that is occurring now through the gift of living in the divine will. In fact, many of us may have journeyed through and maybe still are involved in the Marian movement of priests. Father Gobi made a very interesting statement in, it's on his website, in 1996. He said that the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Eucharistic reign of Jesus, the era of peace, he says, all of this will not occur until everyone is living in the divine will. And then he mentions Luisa Picaretta by name. So again, all the devotions, all that's been given to us in the past has been leading us to this one road to bring us back to the gift of living in the divine will. He says it's been 6,000 years. We're finally arriving. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
Side here, and I'm free.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to take this opportunity also to thank Radio Maria for making this broadcast possible, for bringing the kindergarten of the divine will into your homes, your places of work, or wherever you may be right now. We're very, very grateful to God and to Radio Maria. We're speaking about Mary, like we often do, and why not? She is the mother, and she is our advocate. She is our teacher and our model. I'm also thinking about, you know, Juan Diego, the feast day today, and, you know, we're speaking about our Blessed Mother as being the perfect model, the perfect example. But God uses people for various roles in different offices. And Juan Diego is an example to each and every one of us. Again, it's just it just explains to us that it doesn't matter where we are, what our walk of life is, how much money we have, what education we have. It doesn't matter. If we trust in God, he's going to give us a gift, a mystical gift, that's going to be able to be utilized for the glory of his kingdom. And he did so through Juan Diego. And I think it was the single greatest conversion in the history of the world. But each of us are being called to take this gift of the divine will and share it and spread it with each and every one of us so that God's kingdom may reign on earth as it is in heaven. And back to Italy with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. Mother?
Yeah, Juan Diego was chosen because I think he was so little, you know. I mean, even when he was, when his uncle was sick, he wanted to bypass this place where Our Lady was appearing to him, where she was going to appear, so that he could hide from her to run and get the priest to come and give his uncle the last rites, you know.
My kind of saint.
And so when Our Lady appeared to him anyway, where he was, you know, and said his uncle was healed, but he felt, I have to go to I can't spend time with Our Lady today. I have to get to the priest so that he can come and give my uncle the last rites, you know. So that's how little he was, you know. And, you know, we have two big feasts of Our Lady, December 8th and December 12th come in Our Lady Guadalupe. So, and we're praying Our Lady Guadalupe right now because our sisters moved to San Marino and San Marino has had no abortions, but now they're trying to legalize it, trying to vote for it. So we pray in that, they call their little chapel Our Lady of Guadalupe for that reason, for that purpose, asking for her intercession that they won't pass that law in San Marino. It's a small country, you know, but people from all over the world go there and they'll be going there for abortions if they pass that law. To continue on in volume 20, it says, Luisa says, now, while I was saying this, my little Jesus, I'll go on a little further. My daughter, the easiest means in order to hasten the coming of my will upon earth are the knowledges about it. The knowledges bring light and heat and form within themselves the prime act of God, in which the creature finds the first act on which to model her own. If she does not find the first act, the creature does not have the virtue of forming the prime act. Therefore, the act, the things that are most necessary in order to form this kingdom would be missing. See then what one additional knowledge about my will means by carrying the prime act of God within themselves. They will bring with them a magnetic force, a powerful magnet, in order to draw creatures to repeat the prime act of God. With their light, they will bring the disillusionment of the human will. With their heat, they will soften the hardest hearts to bend before this divine act. And creatures will feel captivated to wanting to model themselves on this act. So the knowledge is how we get to live in the divine will. The knowledge of it, our Lord said every act that we do and every round in divine will has greater benefit according to the knowledge we have. In other words, the amount of faith that we have that what he says is really true, what he says is really happening. When we ask him to do things within us, it's really, really him doing it, you know. And to have that faith, you have to have the knowledge of it. You have to have these truths. And that's why we read over and over again. We never stop reading. You finish volume 36, you go back to number one, and you learn more each time. And it's like every time you read it, it's like you've never read it before, and you're learning new things. You're understanding new things that you didn't understand before. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper. It's a very special, miraculous thing that happens with these books, you know. And our Lord told Luisa that when we read it, he's actually with us in a very special way, and you feel his presence. you feel this joy and this peace when you read these writings.
You're right, Mother. Every time we increase our desire, Jesus increases our capacity to receive him. You know, it's a great time also. You were mentioning about knowledge is to remind ourselves of the four steps that Jesus gives us on how to obtain this gift. He says, number one, desire admits us to this gift. Knowledge advances us in this gift. The virtue anchors us in this gift. And then life actualizes this gift, brings it to fruition. Back to you, Mother.
Okay, so on December 18th, 1927, in volume 23, our Lord tells Luisa how each divine manifestation is a commitment that God makes to creatures. And Jesus tells Luisa here, how each manifestation he makes concerning his divine fiat is a commitment that he makes. So I'm going to read this passage from this chapter. Jesus tells Luisa, after this, I was continuing my round in the divine volition, and my beloved Jesus added, my daughter, each prophecy I gave to my prophets about my coming upon earth was like a commitment I made to creatures of my coming into their midst, and the prophets, by manifesting them, disposed the peoples to desire and to want a good so great, and these, in receiving these prophecies, received the deposit of the commitment. And as I kept manifesting the time and the place of my birth, I kept increasing the pledge of the commitment. So I am doing with the kingdom of my will. Each manifestation I make concerning my divine fiat is a commitment that I make. Each knowledge about it is one more pledge that I add. And if I make my commitments, it is a sign that just as the kingdom of redemption came, so will the kingdom of my will come. My words are lives that I issue from myself, and life must have its dwelling and produce its effects. Do you think that one more manifestation or one less is something trivial? It is one more commitment that a God makes, and our commitments cannot go lost. And the more commitments we make, the closer the time is to carry out our commitments and to place them all in safety. This is why I require of you highest attention and that you let nothing escape you. Otherwise, you would let a divine commitment escape you, and this would carry some consequences. So we're in Advent season now, and throughout the Old Testament, a lot of prophets have prophesied the coming of our Lord, like Isaiah and some other prophets. And even St. John the Baptist told people to prepare the way of the Lord. And as Jesus tells Luisa here, and the prophets, by manifesting them, dispose the people to desire and to want a good so great. And these, in receiving these prophecies, receive the deposit of the commitment. So right now, with all these knowledges, when we're reading it, each manifestation Jesus makes concerning the divine will, it's a new commitment that Jesus makes. And Jesus even tells Luisa here that one more manifestation that he makes, it's not something trivial, because that's a new commitment because it's one more commitment that God makes. And Jesus tells Luisa here that the more commitments we make, the closer the time is to carry out our commitments and to place them all in safety. So throughout the world today, a lot of people are learning more about the divine will. And every day for 2,000 years, the church has been praying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So Jesus tells Luisa that the closer the time is to carry out our commitments and to place them all in safety, the more commitments that Jesus makes. So that means that the kingdom, the divine will come to reign soon.
Hi, Grace. Thank you for that. You know, really quickly, Mother, I'd like to go back to something Sister Francesca said. I don't want that point to be missed. She mentioned about if we believe this, if we have faith in what Jesus is giving us as being true, it makes a whole world of difference when we're journeying Because again, we cannot receive the grace from God if we're doubting him. I mean, of course, he's going to try to encourage us to believe him, but he's not going to force us to. In fact, Jesus gives us in volume 36. I like volume 36, Mother, because it's sort of like the finale. If you've ever gone to a fireworks display, you know, everything's let loose at the end. In volume 36, I believe he's reminding us of all the really important points. And he mentions this in volume 36, May 19th, 1938. He says, quote, "So whoever will read these writings with the intention of finding the truth will find my flames, and all transformed in love will love me more. But whoever will read them to split hairs and find doubts will remain blinded and confused by my light and my love. My children, the goodness of my truths produces two opposite effects. For those who are disposed, it is light, giving sight to their intelligence and the life of sanctity contained in my truths. But for those who are not disposed, it is blindness that deprives them of the good contained in my truths." End quote. Mother, sisters.
Well, that's just what you were talking about at the beginning of the program. Why do they need to clarify so much? There's blindness involved in that. You know, our Lord said, the church, like you said, has already approved of that. Of the fact that Our Lady is co-redemptrix, because the church has approved of the first 19 volumes, and it's in there, you know. So the church contradicts itself in those things sometimes, you know.
We don't know how to explain it. That's what basically they're saying at this time.
They don't know how to explain it.
And you
they
know
don't
really
need
quick.
To because
that's true.
The simple people will understand. You see this? They need to get some simple people out there to explain it to some.
Well, qualify for that, right?
Well, that little Luisa understood it all because she was a simple soul, you know, and so she could understand it all, you know. But if you get too complicated, you're not going to understand it, you know.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mother, our blessed Lord mentioned to Luisa, too. He mentioned about the church. He says the church at first is going to have difficulty with my writings because they're going to try to understand it through their human intellect only.
Right.
I mean, this is a divine decree. This is a divine gift. This is beyond our human comprehension. Really, we need to use the gifts that and graces God's giving to us, and he is giving it to us. And the church, of course, will use it, is using it, and so will we if we so choose.
Well, it's a great miracle God is performing within each one of us as we ask him to do these things within us. And it's not us doing it. And I was just reading here in volume 20 again. It says, "My daughter, when it comes to things that regard my will, heaven and earth remain silent and reverent to be spectators of a new act of this divine will, of this supreme will. Each new act of it brings to all one more divine life, one strength, one happiness, one enrapturing beauty. Therefore, the divine will operating that issues an act from itself. It's not an act issuing from us. It's an act of the divine will issuing the act within itself, because it's God doing it, not us, you know, is the greatest thing that can exist in heaven and on earth. New heavens, more beautiful suns can come out of one more act of my will." You know, in the past, the saints performed, God performed all kind of great miracles through some of the saints, unbelievable miracles, but it was all an act of God. It wasn't these people. It was God doing it. It was God's will. Even Our Lady being conceived without sin, it was all an act of God. Everything is God, and we can't take credit for anything. You know, these acts and rounds that we're doing is God. We're inviting God to do them within us. It's not us doing them. It's God within us doing them. And we have to realize that, you know. And more we do that, of course, the more we shrink and die, and the greater God becomes within us, the more he grows within us. And that's where our, like I said, our peace and our joy increases at that moment.
Yeah, Peter, as you were talking before about what I said earlier, about the faith that we need in order to receive the gift. I think also, I was reading a passage the other day. Our roadblock is because we also feel our own weaknesses. So it's like how we can't really fathom how it's possible that we can live in the divine will. But I read a passage that brought me a lot of comfort. And Jesus was basically talking about the difference between what we feel and the difference between what we will. A lot of times our weaknesses are what we feel, but there's no moral culpability to it because we're not willing the weakness. We're not willing whatever negative effect there is. So it's from March 23rd, 1931, volume 29. And this is Louisa talking. My abandonment in the divine volition continues, but the circumstances in which I currently find myself are such and so many that my poor human will would want to, as though pop out from all sides of my being, to have some act of life, and I feel all the enormous weight. I feel myself being pressed, crushed under my human will. Oh, how true it is that it is the cruelest tyrant. My Jesus, help me. Do not abandon me. Do not leave me at the mercy of my will. If you want, you can. Put it under the sweet empire of your will. Just that one point, I feel myself being pressed, crushed under my human will. There's a beautiful praise and worship song from Hillsong Worship that basically the whole point of the song is in the crushing and in the pressing, that's how Jesus is making new wine out of us. So that's exactly what I thought of when I read that, which is, you know, I thought a beautiful song. And then it continues. And my beloved Jesus, making himself seen and heard, told me, my daughter, courage, do not worry so much. To feel the weight of one's will says nothing. It is a pain more painful than all other pains. And if you had wanted it, it would no longer be pain, but the pain would change into satisfaction. To feel is one thing, to want is another. So banish the thought that you always commit sins because you feel your will. Therefore, do not fear. I am watching you. And when I see that it wants life in your things, I give you the pain so as to make it die of pain. So trust your Jesus, because what harms you the most is the lack of trust. It is always this that causes souls to be restless, even when I keep them clasped in my arms. And then this pain of feeling the weight of the human will, oh, how much did your Jesus feel it? More vividly as it lasted my whole life. Therefore, mine and yours, let us unite them together and let us offer them for the triumph of my will and souls. So in these moments, we have Jesus's strength to lean on because he suffered that very same suffering that we suffer, you know, the weight of our human will. And then another thing that struck me, we don't have to worry. Let's surrender our spiritual lives to Jesus. Let's surrender our journey in the divine will to Jesus. Let him take charge. And he knows where to guide us, how to guide us, the circumstances to bring before us, the things to reveal to us in prayer. We can relax, we can relax and wait and listen and just be ready to respond.
What do we have to lose? We're not doing so well on our own.
Yeah, it says in volume 20 again, my daughter, one who must possess the kingdom of my will must not only do it and live in it, but must feel and suffer what my will feels and suffers within souls. What you feel is nothing other than the condition in which it finds itself in creatures, with what difficulty it flows, what efforts does it not have to make in order to subdue creatures, to make them do its will. How repressed they keep it within their own will. They take away from it the best of its life within them, which is its energy, its joy, its strength. And it is forced to act under the pressure of a human will, melancholic, weak, and inconstant. So, you know, I think we think that, well, when we live in the divine will, or even right now, you know, we till the whole world lives totally in the divine will, it won't be like the Garden of Eden yet. We still suffer. And our Lord would allow Louisa to suffer greatly. And he said she was sharing his suffering that he suffered for souls. Our Lady suffered. She was conceived without original sin. She suffered more than anybody after Jesus. And then Louisa suffered, you know, so living in the divine will, we're going to take on some of his pain. He wants us to share his pain with him. But with that pain will come joy and peace, and rest. He'll give us the gift of resigning ourselves to what we have to suffer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, talking about our weakness and lack of trust, I was reading the Hour of Passion, and it talks about Judas in the fourth hour. Jesus was washing the feet of the apostles before instituting the Eucharist. So, but sweet love of mine, as you continue to wash the feet of the apostles, I see that you are now at Jesus' feet, Judas's feet. I hear your labor breath. I see that you not only cry, but sob. And as you wash those feet, you kiss them, you press them to your heart, and are unable to speak with your voice because it is suffocated by crying. You look at him with eyes swollen with tears and see to him with your heart. My child, oh, please, I beg you with the voices of my tears, do not go to hell. Give me your soul, which I ask of you, prostrate at your feet. Tell me, what do you want? What do you demand? I will give you everything, provided that you do not lose yourself. Oh, please, spare the sorrow to me, your God. And again, you press those feet to your heart. But in seeing the hardness of Judas, your heart is cornered. Your heart suffocates you, and you are about to faint. So only if Jesus turned his gazes to Jesus, and only if he trusted in his mercy, then he wouldn't have perished. But these words that Jesus said to Judas really struck me. He said that, my child, what do you want? What do you demand? And why have you come? So he's really asking all of us with the same questions when we are about to fall into sin, when we are obstinate and not wanting to convert our hearts. And I look back on myself, and I was really sorry to Jesus when I realized that Jesus was also begging me not to take the wrong path, not to go away from him, and not to be a slave of sin. But many times we give ourselves in to all kinds of sins, turn our back to God and leave him alone, looking for some temporary pleasures that are not going to last long. So we should really take a short moment with this question before we do anything. After I meditate on this, now before whatever I do, just for example, when I fill the candles with oil, when I prepare the mass, when I clean, just in my daily activities, I try to remember that question, my child, why have you come? Then I try to answer, Jesus, I have come to love you in the name of all souls in your divine will. I'm doing this for you, for your glory. I try to remember this before I do something, and it really helps me to have right motives and set the right mindset that we should do everything to love, repair, and honor God on behalf of all generation. And the beautiful thing is that this way of praying is only of divine will, because it sees everything and embraces everything. Because our human will cannot say this, because it cannot contain immensity and all-seeingness. It doesn't have any that capacity to contain. So this is such a beautiful gift that God wants to give us.
Yeah, I mean, we can't say that enough, you know, that it is a beautiful gift. And unless you you read it, you won't understand that. You can listen to a lot of talks, you can go here and there, but unless you're reading it, you will not understand it. You will not learn, because no one can express it as beautifully as Jesus expressed it to Louisa. She was only his secretary. Jesus wrote these books, and no one can explain it like he did. You know, people can talk to you about it, but I think that you're going to get much more from reading it. I hear of people sometimes going from one cynical to another, listening to a lot of talks, but they never read it. So then they want you to give it to them. And it doesn't work that way. You have to read the volumes yourself, and God will give you the gift because he's speaking to your heart through these writings. These writings are very special, and the Holy Spirit works through these. Every sentence is so profound, it's so beautiful. So the Holy Spirit works that, just like the scriptures, you know, you can read scriptures paraphrased, somebody explaining it, you know, and writing it that way. But you got to go to the real scriptures, yeah, you know, to understand it and to get the meat of it, you know.
Scott Hahn always says that in his Bible studies. He goes, yeah, the main book for this Bible study is the Bible, it's not the Bible. My book, yeah, not somebody else's, yeah, book, but the Bible.
So, I mean, Anka, go ahead.
No, that makes no. Go finish your thought there, Mother. That was very good.
I was just going to say, you know, so don't run around here and there trying to find all kind of ways of learning it from others. Yes, you can listen to other people speaking, but if you're not reading it, if you're just going to these talks and trying to get it that way without ever reading it, you're not going to ever understand it or grow in it or learn how to live it, you know.
Yeah, well, it's true, because, you know, God is speaking to us collectively, but he's also going to address us individually, because we're all disposed slightly differently. So if we're seeing blue for the Mother Mary blue, we're all seeing a different you. It doesn't mean it's wrong, but it's just a little different. So, but it is enlightening to hear other perspectives, but you're right, Mother. Listening to Jesus speak to us personally, he's going to teach us in the format in which we're going to be able to understand. And that's what's so beautiful about this gift. I'd like to end, Mother, with two quick quotes. One from our catechism. This is Article 507, and it states this quote: "At once Virgin and Mother, Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the Church." End quote. And then from the Book of Heaven, from Volume 14, August 23rd, 1922. Which carries the Church's imprimatur in Elopsat. It states, quote, by Jesus, "I told you many times that the mission of calling a soul to live in my will is the greatest one. It is the highest and most sublime call. There is no other call that can match it," end quote. And like Sister Francesca said, do we believe that? If we do, we have everything we need. Thank you, Radio Maria. Thanks be to God for everything. And we hope and pray that we'll be there next week to see each and every one of you. God bless you all.
All right. Thanks, Peter. Thank you, sisters.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks. Thank you very much.